But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with an admission of election tampering, move on to the Heil Musk scene round the world, and follow all of that up with how old man Donald declared all Americans are female and immigrants have diplomatic immunity. Let's begin, shall we? What a fucking year January is turning out to be, am I right? In just the last week, we've been inundated with the kind of shock and awe that can only be described as a reboot of Germany circa 1933, and that's by design. Because when you're the orange-tinted carnival barker, you've got something for everyone up your ketchup-stained sleeves.
It is too hot in here, Mr. Jewett. Just say the word. I'm afraid I have a tendency to turn up the heat.
That is why I'd like to preface everything that has happened since last November, when we switched timelines thanks to a Nazi-saluting African-American meddling in our election, with the pre-coronation admission by the newly crowned Comrade Pumpkinfuhrer. Roll tape.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy, and he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Many, many unbearable moments later.
And we got the World Cup, too. And, you know, it's only because they rigged the election that I'll be your president representing you there. You know, I got both of them. I got the Olympics and I got the World Cup. And I said, you know, it's too bad. One was in 2026 or the other was in 2028. And I said, I won't be there. I won't be your president. But then they rigged the election and now we won. So I'm going to be your president for the Olympics.
There he goes, admitting to the fucking crime twice. So somehow the South African muskrat rigged the 2024 election. So the guy who still doesn't have a 50% or higher approval rating got all swing states, all six, and the popular vote in the last election. An election where more people registered to vote, but inexplicably less people voted in. And then there's Joe Rogan discussing how cybercuck Musk knew the outcome of the election 4 hours before anyone else did.
Beginning of the night, no one knew what was going to happen. So you're watching the first results roll in.
And then every channel's kind of different.
I was getting a different number off my Apple News update than I was getting off of CNN. And then I was texting people like Tulsi and J.D. Vance. I was getting a different update. Apparently, Elon created an app and he knew who won 4 hours before the results. 4 hours before they called it, Dana White told me, Elon was like, I'm leaving. It's over. Donald won. He had like the most accurate data, but Dana said he had an app and he was like showing them.
Now, I didn't buy my way into computer technology like Heil Musk, but I do know a thing or two about the flow of information. And I don't know for a fact that Starlink was used in a siphoning of data campaign as it was connecting to the voter tally data being shared in North Carolina and other states that use the network to transmit election data from county to county. I just know it's true. And Smart Elections, who released a report of the 2024 election, agrees with me in part, saying that someone may have installed a code or certain tabulators to shift votes after the hand-counted results were digitally recorded, all pointing to the fact that we are living in a timeline altered by the wealthiest delusionaire who hides behind a self-diagnosed autism that somehow excuses Nazi saluting a crowd of maggots for the whole world to see.
SpaceX, Tesla, and ex-founder Elon Musk igniting online chatter for what he did at a rally for President Trump yesterday. The billionaire seen placing his hand on his heart and then extending his arm out above his head with his palm facing down. He did that gesture twice. Many on social media compared the gesture to a Nazi salute.
Let's see what people here in Germany think.
I'm just like freezing. I can't believe that that's really happening.
If he would be doing this in Germany, he would be arrested on the spot. I know some people might come with the excuse that he is autistic. And as someone who is autistic myself, this is not an excuse. I would never do this gesture.
Let me say it like this. I'm not surprised.
America, really? You don't want that. Germany had it. Don't need to be repeated.
Are you listening, America? Because when Germans who are descendants of those who lived through or participated in Hitler's Nazi takeover are warning you, you should probably pay attention. And for those of you who slept through high school history class, it took Hitler 1 year after being elected chancellor to declare Germany under Nazi rule after merging the German government with his racist regime. And in that year, he set fire to the Reichstag, just 1 month after becoming chancellor, which led to the suspension of the German constitution and everyone's rights. 2 months later, the first and longest running concentration camp was established to house and kill Jews. And 2 months after that, the book burning started. And by the end of 1933, Hitler declares he is the one to rule them all, ending their free and fair elections. Which reminds me of a promise Eric's dad made to Christians while campaigning before the 2024 election.
Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years, you know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
Oh, I bet you're going to try. If the resolution, Tennessee's stupid excuse for a congressman, Andy Ogles, passes, that allows old man Donald to run for a third term, doesn't work out. Based on the way Orange Felonious has been Sharpie penning all over the U.S. Constitution, although I can't say the rollout of Trump's poorly educated reboot of Hitler's Nazi Germany isn't without a few hilarious moments. For example, the executive tantrum issued regarding the trans community.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
His executive order says, quote, when administering or enforcing sex-based distinctions, every agency and all federal employees acting in an official capacity on behalf of their agency shall use the term sex and not gender in all applicable federal policies and documents.
But as Jessica Valenti pointed out, they also snuck in a little bit of extra spice into that executive order declaring fetal personhood. In the order, Donald Trump declares that female means a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell, and that male means a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell. However, all human embryos start life as females. And it isn't until sometime in the second month of gestation that a fetus begins to differentiate and either continue developing as a female or begin developing as a male.
Well, now that we are all female in America, I want to thank Madam President Donna Trump for having the courage to be who she is and giving all Americans the freedom to be who they are. Because in what could have only been written by someone who flunked grade school biology, this executive order declares that Americans are the sex established at conception. And because we're all female, at least until 11 weeks of gestation, I guess Caitlyn Jenner was always Caitlyn. And 77.3 million maggots just unintentionally elected the first female president. Congratulations to all of you Kevins and Karens out there who made this incredibly progressively forward possible.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
And while that scientific fact about human biology sinks into some of us, there's quite another terrifying and while at the same time Mr. Bean level hilarious executive demand out there that got everyone on edge. I'm talking about the 14th Amendment, giving the right of all of us to be U.S. citizens because we were born on U.S. soil. We affectionately call this birthright citizenship. A fact, a Ronald Reagan-appointed federal judge in Seattle, Washington, reminded Payless Putin of just days after the executive order was signed.
Do we have a decision?
We do. A quick decision. The judge just issued a temporary restraining order, putting a nationwide block, at least temporarily, on Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship for children who were born to mothers who are in the United States either unlawfully or temporarily. The judge said out loud, I have signed the TRO, that temporary restraining order, just as soon as the lawyers from both sides stopped talking.
In Seattle, Judge Cooner slamming Trump's birthright citizenship executive order as a, quote, blatantly unconstitutional order. So that would probably then be appealed to a court of appeal, and then would likely go up to the Supreme Court. And as we were talking with Jonathan Turley earlier, that was likely the plan all along, to get this before a 6-3 Supreme Court and see if the president can get a ruling in his favor.
Yeah.
Well, can't say I didn't see that coming.
Son of a bitch!
Especially after the Roundup Anyone Who Looks Illegal rollout we've seen across the country, thanks to Save-A-Lot Stalin's icy SS soldiers.
ICE agents stormed into this place of business without a valid judicial warrant.
What did they say?
In the morning. We just need to see the documentation on the people you have working. Why? Are we looking for anything? What are you looking for? No, we just had some complaints.
Mayor Roz Baraka saying they unlawfully terrorized people, quote, detaining undocumented residents as well as citizens without producing a warrant. One of the detainees is a U.S. military veteran and had his military documentation questioned.
Chicago Public School officials telling us federal agents showed up at the door today but were turned away.
CPS came out and told us that ICE was here on campus trying to gain access to the school. The principal of the school came out and told us that ICE was here at the school trying to gain access around 11:15 this morning. And they said they did not gain entry. They were stopped at the front by CPS staff, as is their protocol.
Navajo people are reportedly being detained in Donald Trump's immigration sweeps that he is carrying out across Arizona. Reports of indigenous people being detained in the valley.
So whether you are a U.S. veteran, a child in school, or a member of a Native American tribe, you're all illegal to the trash can Don. Because in the dumpster fire America's burning down in, one does not simply become a citizen because of where you are born. Not that Velveeta Voldemort has declared under what circumstances someone can become a U.S. citizen, just that the 14th Amendment in the U.S. Constitution ain't it. Because under the 14th Amendment's citizenship clause, it states,
all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
Sounds straightforward, doesn't it? If you are born in the United States on U.S. soil or naturalized through immigration law, then you are a U.S. citizen, period. But the Trump administration says that's not true because of one fragment of a line in the citizenship clause, which states, quote, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, meaning immigrants and even Native Americans are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States if they are also under jurisdiction of another country or tribal nation. That right there is the argument Assholini's lawyers are making in court right now to prove Native Americans are not U.S. citizens, because they are members of a Native tribe, and those tribes have their own laws and regulatory oversight. Never mind that the Indian Citizen Act of 1924, passed by the United States government, declared all Native peoples U.S. citizens through naturalization. Trump's lawyers don't care about legal precedent or the laws of this country. In fact, those D-average legal eagles the president is using don't even give a shit about the unintended consequences of going after birthright citizenship, such as...
His entire case is based around the interpretation of a specific clause in the 14th Amendment and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. He and his team believe that if they can convince the courts that undocumented immigrants, because they're from another country, are not subject to U.S. jurisdiction, then he can prevent their children from having birthright citizenship. This clause was originally written for foreign diplomats who came to the United States for work and then who had kids here. And it was smart, because if you think through the Cold War, you didn't want somebody who was from the Soviet Union, for example, to come here, have a kid, and then that kid is an American citizen. But do you know what that clause also does? By exempting someone from your jurisdiction, you are also saying that you cannot arrest or detain them without written permission from their government. Trump's grand plan to end birthright citizenship for what might be a couple thousand kids would at the exact same time prohibit his administration from arresting or detaining any undocumented immigrant, because the clause in the 14th Amendment doesn't say anything about being male, female, or pregnant. If Donald Trump's executive order is approved, it could grant full diplomatic immunity to every undocumented immigrant in the country.
Maggot Republicans really are fucking dumb. They're arguing in court that the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof means native people and immigrants of all kinds are not subject to America's rules because they're from another country and their kids can't anchor them to citizenship the way that J.D. Vance's wife anchored her parents to America when they had her before they became American citizens. Oh, and the same with Barron Trump, who was born 5 months before Melania, the second lady of America, with her husband being the first female president, became a U.S. citizen herself.
This is some bullshit.
Because we all know what's good for Schittler's spawn and his barely a VP's wife isn't good for the rest of us. And don't think for a moment our Dollar Tree dictator gives a fuck about how his migrant roundup extravaganza is going to affect the cost of groceries and housing. Now that farmers and construction sites are reporting workers aren't showing up to work for fear that they'll be shipped out to wherever Genghis Khan decides to send them. That's because Mexico has refused to take planes full of migrants, along with Honduras and Nicaragua and Brazil and other countries. But have no fear, because the once Confederate state of Mississippi has stepped in to help solve the what to do with all these immigrants problem.
A controversial bill introduced in Mississippi would pay bounty hunters to bring in immigrants in the country illegally. This measure, House Bill 1484, is sponsored by Republican Representative Justin King.
Would allow registered bounty hunters to detain undocumented immigrants. The bill also offers a $1,000 reward for tips leading to an arrest. Once captured, individuals would be deported and could face felony trespassing charges.
This reminds me of the slave patrols where in the 1700s and 1800s, there's a group of militia that was hunting slaves.
Because of course, former domestic terrorist state Mississippi is creating their own migrant bounty hunters. How else are the maggots running that state going to help Crimes the Clown establish his own DACU camp in Texas, filled with migrants who can't be returned to their country of origin? And besides, this gives members of his Meal Team 6 a chance to get out of that trailer and do something totally SS in service of Eric's dad. Now that Pumpkin Spice Palpatine has released an estimated 15,000 violent criminals into the American general population.
New reporting from Axios this morning details the private back and forth amongst President Trump's team over how many January 6th rioters to pardon.
The case-by-case review was onerous. Trump staffers wondered whom to pardon and who might slip through the cracks. Time was running out heading into Inauguration Day. As Trump's team wrestled with the issue, Trump just said, F it, release them all.
Several days later.
You would agree that it's never acceptable to assault a police officer,
sure.
Right? So then if I can, among those you pardon, DJ Rodriguez, he drove a stun gun into the neck of a DC police officer who was abducted by the mob that day. He later confessed on video to the FBI and pleaded guilty for his crimes. Why does he deserve a pardon?
Well, I don't know. Is it a pardon? Because we're looking at commutes and we're looking at pardons. Okay, well, we'll take a look at everything. But I can say this, murderers today are not even charged all over. You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia, take a look at what's gone off in L.A., where people murder people and they don't get charged.
And that right there is why Mine Incompetence should be sitting in a jail cell instead of hurling ketchup at the walls in the White House dining room. Thanks, Judge Juan Merchan. Because now that Ilonia Muscatina rigged the election for the spray tan con man, that fat bastard thinks there's not only a two-tiered justice system, but since he's been crowned, he can choose who gets punished and who gets promoted. And by promoted, I mean getting a cushy new job as a Mississippi migrant bounty hunter. I hear the pay is excellent and next to no training is required, which works out for the poorly educated who will be allegedly filling out their applications. In fact, as Von Krebsenpants explained on Fox Not a News Channel, picking out an illegal immigrant is as easy as looking at them.
In an Oval Office sit-down last night, President Trump repeated false claims that other countries are sending their prisoners here.
People, they've emptied their jails. I would, if I were the president or prime minister or something of another country, I'd empty my jails right into America. Who would ask for open borders with people pouring in, some of whom, but you can look at them and you can say, could be trouble. Could be trouble. There are people coming in with tattoos all over their face. Their entire face is covered with tattoos.
It identifies.
Typically, you know he's not going to be the head of the local bank.
And to that I say, sir, you have obviously never been banking in downtown Seattle. But that's neither here nor there. Because people with tattoos on their faces or anywhere on their body is not an indication of their migrant status or their citizenship. And everything to do with a personal choice they made about their body. Something you'd think the first female president would find a kinship with, considering Donna Dunscap has just declared men in America are all transgender, and finally answering that highly debated question, what the fuck does the right wing mean when they say your body, my choice, by waging a gender war on themselves? And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. And while we are always available for your listening pleasure, check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.